Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenhaft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Yud Gimel. Chapter 13, all 22 verses, is about the reign of Aviah, son of Rechavam. There are only 8 verses about him in Melachim, and there are many differences. We will point out the differences and analyze them, and try to understand what kind of king that Aviah was. The chapter begins with verses 1-2. Bishnat Shmonasre Lemelch Yeravam V'yimloch Aviah al Yehuda. In the 18th year of King Yeravam, Aviah became king over Yehuda. Shalosh shanim malach b'Yerushalayim v'shem imo Michiyahu bat Uriel min Giva u'melchama haita ben Aviah uven Yeravam. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Michiyahu, daughter of Uriel of Giva. There was war between Aviah and Yeravam. It is interesting to note that Aviah is called Aviyam in Melachim. We've discussed before about how names appear differently in different Sfarim, such as Chiram, the king of Tyre in Melachim, who is called Churam in our Sefer, Divrei Hayamim Bet, but Yud and Vav are often interchangeable. Heis and Mems, not so much. Malbim explains that he's called Aviyam in Melachim because the son of Yeravam ben Nevat was also Aviah. And in order to distinguish between them, Malchut Yehuda, the kingdom of Yehuda, called the son of Rechavam Aviyam as if it had the plural possessive, and it means their Aviyah, not the other one. Also, you may recall that Aviyah's mother is Macha bat Avshalom, but here she is called Michiyahu bat Uriel. Radak and Masudat David state that she is the same person and that she had two names, which is not uncommon. The rest of our parak is about the war between Aviyah and Yeravam ben Nevat. This is so interesting because it occupies less than a full verse in Melachim. And in Melachim, we are told that Vayelech b'chol chatzot aviv asher asah lefanav v'lo haya levavo shalem im Hashem Elokav kilvav David aviv. He continued in all the sins that his father before him had committed. He was not wholehearted with the Eternal's God like his forefather David. Ki leman David natan Hashem Elokav lo nir Yerushalayim lehakim et beno acharav ulehamid et Yerushalayim. Yet for the sake of David, the Eternal is God gave him a lamp, a symbol of continuity in Jerusalem, by raising up his descendant after him and by preserving Jerusalem. None of this is written in Divrei Hayamim Bet. How are we to understand this? As we learned in the last chapter, Rechavam was really only guilty of apathy. He left the people with no leadership or inspiration. So Aviah is accused of no more than he continued in his father's ways and took no steps to inhibit the moral decline of the people. The implication is clear. Aviah has no claim to the kingship in his own right. He is viewed simply as a means of perpetuating the Davidic line. As we've mentioned before, Melachim was written by Yirmiyahu, a Navi, a prophet, and deals with the prophetic perception of the monarchy. Aviah's reign was a negative. He is defined as no more than a link in the chain of the Davidic dynasty, but has no standing of his own among Israel's kings. The major battles between Aviah and Yeravam ben Nevat have no place in the history of the monarchy. Ezra had a different purpose in writing Divrei Hayamim, and it wasn't about the monarchy. The focus is upon the Davidic dynasty as it stretches out to the Messianic future. Let us continue in chapter 13 and learn more about the war between Aviah and Yeravam and how its inclusion in our Sefer can be understood. We are told in verse 3 that Aviah had an army of 400,000 chosen men and Yeravam set up for battle with 800,000 mighty warriors. Then, in verses 4-12, Aviah stood up on Mount Amorim in the hills of Ephraim and gave an impassioned speech to the army of the northern kingdom. Shim'uni Yeravam v'chol Yisrael. Listen to me, Yeravam and all Israel. He begins by saying, Halolacham ladat, ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael natan mamlecha l'David al Yisrael le'olam, lo ulabanav, brit melach. Surely you know that the eternal God of Israel gave David kingship over Israel forever to him and his sons by a covenant of salt. Vayakam Yeravam ben Nevat, Eved Shlomo ben David, Vayimrod al Adonav. Yeravam, son of Nevat, had been in the service of Shlomo, son of David, but he rose up and rebelled against his master. What does Aviah mean by Brit Melech, a covenant of salt? Just like salt will never spoil, so too the kingdom of David will never end. He suggests that Yeravam can have no legitimate claim to the throne, since he is no more than a rebellious servant of the king. This is a reference to Yeravam ben Nevat's actions in chapter 11 of Melachim, which we recapped in chapter 10, when he publicly rebuked Shlomo for building the Milo for Bat Paro's palace. Avia then says that Yeravam gathered worthless men who overwhelmed Rechavam, who was young and could not strengthen himself against them, and that now they are arranging themselves against the Davidic kingdom, who he describes as Mamlechet Hashem B'yad B'nei David, God's kingdom in the hands of the sons of David. And that Yeravam's army is much larger than Avia's, but they are burdened with the golden calves that Yeravam made for them as gods. Avia is trying to point out to the opposing army the emptiness of their beliefs, and that they should abandon their path and not continue with this war. Before we continue with Avia's speech, let's explore Avia's contention that the northern kingdom is illegitimate. It's actually a machloket, a disagreement, between the Rambam, Maimonides, and the Ramban, Nachmanides, about whether there can be any king who does not descend from Yehuda and David. They debate the halachic status of a king from a tribe other than Yehuda who was anointed to the monarchy by a prophet, which Yeravam ben Nevat, anointed by Achia the Shilonite, would be the paradigm. The Rambam wrote in Mishnah Torah, Laws of Kings, that Navi she'amid melech mishar shivtei Yisrael, v'haya oto ha'melech holech b'derech ha'torah v'mitzvah, v'nelcham nelchamot Hashem, harei ze melech, v'chol mitzvot ha'malchut no'agopo. Af al pi she'ikar ha'malchut le'David, v'yeh mibanav melech, sh'harei achia shiloni he'amid Yeravam. If a prophet appoints a king from any other tribe of Israel, and that king follows the path of Torah and mitzvot and fights the wars of God, he is considered as a king, and all the commandments associated with the monarchy apply to him. Although the kingship was primarily given to David and one of his descendants will be serving as king, there is halachic legitimacy to the rule of other kings. Behold, Achia of Shiloh appointed Yeravam. The Rambam continues, Malchei Beit David hem ha'omdim le'olam, aval im yamod melech mishar Yisrael tipasek ha'malchut mibeito, sh'arei ne'amar li'Yeravam ach lo kol yamim. The kings of the Davidic dynasty will prevail forever. In contrast, should a king arise from other Israelites, the monarchy will eventually cease from his descendants. For behold, Yeravam was told, I will afflict the house of David, but not forever. The Ramban, on the other hand, wrote in Bereshit, chapter 49, that, in my opinion, the kings from other tribes who ruled over Israel after David went against the wish of their father Yaakov by diverting the inheritance of Yehuda to another tribe. Now they relied on the word of Achia the Shilonite, the prophet who anointed Yeravam, who said, and I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. But when the 10 tribes of Israel continued to crown kings, one after another of the rest of the tribes, and they did not revert to the kingdom of Yehuda, they transgressed the testament of the ancestor, and they were accordingly punished. Just as Hosea said, they have set up kings, but not for me. According to the Rambam, non-Davidic kingship can be legitimate, but it lacks enduring dynastic rights. The Ramban believed that any Jewish kingship outside the house of David is inherently illegitimate after David is chosen. Hashem's command to Achia the Shilonite to appoint Yeravam does not legitimize non-Davidic kingship. Rather, it must be understood as a temporary, punitive decree, not an endorsement of an alternative royal line. Either way, Achia painted Yeravam ben Nevat as illegitimate. That's not exactly true by any opinion. Avia continues and points out that they have driven out the Kohanim and made their own priests, and sometimes bring korbanot without even using priests. But Anachnu Hashem Elkeinu, V'lo Azavnuhu, V'Kohanim Mishartim L'Hashem Bnei Aaron V'Alevim B'Melechet. As for us, our God is the Eternal, whom we have not forsaken. The priests who minister to God are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites are at their tasks. U'mikatrim l'Hashem olot baboker baboker ba'erev ba'erev u'ktorat samim u'marechet lechem al shulchan ha'tahor u'minorat ha'zahav v'nerotel leva'er ba'erev ba'erev ki shomrim anachnu et mishmeret Hashem alkenu atem azavtem oto. They offer burnt offerings and smoke each morning and each evening, and their aromatic incense, the rows of bread on the pure table, They kindle the golden lampstand with its lamps burning each evening, for we keep the charge of the eternal our God, while you have forsaken it. Aviah concludes by saying, B'nei Yisrael, al telachamu im Hashem elkei avoseichem, ki lo tatzlichu. O children of Israel, do not fight the eternal God of your ancestors, because you will not succeed. After his speech, Yeravam and the northern kingdom put up a good fight, but lost the war. Because the psukim say that when it looked like Yeravam had surrounded them with his bigger army, the people in Malchut Yehuda, vayitzaku l'Hashem, v'hakohanim mechatzrim b'chatzotzrot, they cried out to God, and the priests blew the trumpets. Vayariu ish Yehuda, vayihi b'hariya ish Yehuda, ve'elkim nagaf et Yeravam, v'chol Yisrael, l'fnei aviyav Yehuda. Yehuda's side raised a shout, and when Yehuda's side raised a shout, God routed Yeravam and all Israel before Aviah and Yehuda. Vayikanu b'nei Yisrael ba'etahi, vayamsu b'nei Yehuda, kinishanu al Hashem Elokei avoseihem. The Israelites were crushed at that time, while the people of Yehuda triumphed because they relied on the eternal God of their ancestors. On the surface, Aviah's speech seems above reproach. There is clearly an earnest desire to make peace with the other 10 tribes and a strong belief in all of the principles which would connect the Davidic line with the Messianic future. Let us remember the Rashi from Hosea that we learned in chapter 10. It was taught in the name of Rav Shimon, the son of Yochai. The children of Israel rejected three things during the reign of Rehoboam: the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the house of David, and the holy temple. These seem to be the exact points that Aviah's speech is addressing, acknowledging Hashem, the Davidic line, and the Beit HaMikdash. It would seem that Divrei HaYamim presents Aviah in a much different light than how he is presented in Melachim, where the assessment was that he was evil like his father, which we learned above. While King Aviah was a failure in that he could not or would not put a stop to the erosion of the national morality, he is nevertheless a pivotal chapter in Israel's national journey. The war which he waged and his ringing affirmation of the exclusive legitimacy of the Davidic line are significant milestones in the Messianic saga. In this context, the negative assessment of Aviah's reign in Melachim is not germane to Divrei HaYamim. Aviah and Malchut Yehuda killed 500,000 men from the northern kingdom and won the war. The closing pasuk states, V'lo atzar koach Yeravam od b'yimei Aviyahu, v'yigifehu Hashem v'yamot. Yeravam could not muster strength again during the days of Aviah. God struck him down and he died. Who did Hashem strike down? The syntax seems to suggest that it was Yeravam ben Nevat, that he was killed in the war by Aviah's forces, but chronologically that cannot be true. The rabbis in the Jerusalem Talmud in Yevamot teach that it is Aviah who died, and he was killed in this war because of one of four possible sins which he committed in the course of his speech. We will bring two examples here. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Atzavor Shu Yeravam, Eina Ela Aviah, V'lama Nigef? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Al Shechishedet Yeravam Berabim. Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish Amar, Al Shebizat Achia Shiloni Rabbe, Al Detzavach Lachia Hashiloni. Rabbi Shmuel said, you think that this refers to Yeravam, but it is Aviah. Why was he smitten? Rabbi Yochanan said, because he insulted Yeravam in public. Rav Shimon ben Lakish said, because he denigrated Achiah from Shiloh. Aviah clearly thinks that Yeravam did not have a legitimate claim to the throne. This was not the perspective in Malachim chapter 11. Hashem, through the prophet Achiah the Shilonite, unambiguously promised the kingship of Israel to Yeravam. There was just a proviso that it would not last for all days. He should not have publicly rebuked Yeravam and embarrassed him. When he referenced the golden calves and said, V'yimecha megle zahav asher salacham Yeravam le'elkim, you possess the golden calves that Yeravam made for you as gods. This was also inaccurate. Yeravam's calves were not idols in the usual sense of the word. While they violated the Torah's prohibition against making false images, they were not worshipped as gods. In an effort to paint the northern kingdom as completely wrong, Aviah denigrated the people and their actions, and that was not okay. When Aviah said that Yeravam gathered Anashim Rekim B'nei Belial, riffraff, and scoundrels, that was disrespectful to Achiah the Shilonit, a true prophet of Hashem who anointed Yeravam and stayed with his kingdom. Overall, chapter 13 seems to approve of Aviah and his actions, and the sins that he committed are veiled references we needed to uncover in the verses. They lead to his death, which itself is only a veiled reference. It would seem that in the rabbi's assessment, Aviah's sincerity is called into question. His reign and his actions are not 100% good or bad and are mysterious. He ruled only 3 years, and the only thing Divrei Hayamim records is the war. Remember, the success of the war is attributed to the people, not Aviah. In the last verse, there is a dig against Aviah when it says, Vayishkav Aviah im avotav, vayikru oto b'ir David, vayimloch asa b'no tachtav, b'yamav shakta ha'aretz eser shanim. Aviah rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. His son Asa succeeded him as king, and the land was untroubled in his reign for 10 years. There is implied criticism of Aviah that his son Asa ruled for at least 10 years and that there's no war at all during this time. We end our chapter slightly confused, but ultimately, Divrei Hayamim paints a successful chapter for the kingdom of Yehuda. If not a perfect one, but ends with a foreshadowing of the wonderful direction the kingship is going to take with Asa, Aviah's son. This shir is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudit Bat Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivat Zion left an indelible mark on her many students.